I will tell of the Battle of Hastings.
Folk singer Tony Barrett.
King Harold, he came up when they landed, his face full of venom and hate, and he said, if you've come for regatta, you've got here just 6 weeks too late. Well, at this, William rose, cool but haughty, and said, let's have none of your cheek. You'd best have your throne reupholstered. I'll be wanting to use it next week. Well, when Harold heard this here defiance, with rage he turned purple and blue, and he shouted some rude words in Saxon, to which William answered, and you.
If you're Japanese and you're doing business in Germany, chances are the language you'll use to close the deal is English. And if Swedish and Belgian diplomats are hammering out new laws for the European Union, how do they talk to each other? In English, most likely. So why has English become the world's dominant language?
In one word, because the English speakers have had all the luck.
Abram de Swan is a Dutch sociologist who studies the politics of language. He told Steve Paulson that English is so widespread because the British Empire once ruled over vast stretches of the earth, and now the U.S. is the global power that all countries must contend with. De Swan says the popularity of English has little to do with the language itself.
I don't think there's anything in English which makes it especially suitable to be a world language. If you and I were a committee which had to pick a world language, we would right away reject English for the simple reason that the orthography is totally impossible, the spelling.
Now, there were various European countries that were colonial powers. It wasn't just the British. It was the French, the Dutch, the Portuguese.
Yeah.
But those languages have not had nearly as much influence as English, in recent decades at least.
No, but on the whole, colonial languages have proved remarkably tenacious and resistant in the sense that Brazil still speaks Portuguese, the rest of Latin America speaks Spanish. In India, which is a huge population, approaching 1 billion, English still is the official language, competing with its much more numerous rival, which is Hindi. Throughout West Africa, French has maintained its position, and there are a number of reasons for that. First of all, in all these colonies, there was an administration recruited in the final phases from native people, the native elites. After independence, they wanted to retain that colonial language as their collective monopoly, as an access to the civil service examinations for their children, therefore for the best jobs in the land. Secondly, there was the liberation movement. And the various nations and ethnies that came together in the liberation movement could only understand one another in the language of the colonizer, which they mobilized in their anti-colonial struggle.
It's an incredible irony.
Yes, it is. It's,
I mean, they're trying to kick out the colonizer, but
using the language. That's correct. Now, after independence, of course, there was a debate everywhere. Shouldn't we have an indigenous language that sprang from our own soil? Everybody agreed in public. The next question was, which one? And the answer invariably was, not yours. So, for example, in Senegal, where 80% of the people speak Wolof, as soon as the subject arises, should Wolof become the official language of Senegal, the Serer, the Toucouleur, the Diola say, no, certainly not. We're not going to give this recognition to one of our rival nations. And therefore, French remains.
Now, it's fascinating to think about the politics of this because it almost sounds like the colonizer's language would have been vilified long as the colonizer was in power. So I assume that in India, for instance, that Indians must have hated English.
Just they still
as they loathed the English. They would do anything to get the British out of the country.
Oh, yes.
But as soon as the English leave, then the English language becomes more acceptable.
Well, they still feel very bad about the fact that English holds such an important position, although the southern states use it in order to prevent the total victory of Hindi. So it still is a very contested situation. I think that we should propose to them another metaphor. We should say, we kicked the English out of India. In their hurry to get away, they left their English behind. We took it as our booty and do with it whatever we want, which in fact they do. They have created beautiful variations of English. And they win every Booker Prize, every English Literature Prize.
Well, and that's very striking. I mean, there are these famous international writers from India, Salman Rushdie, Arundhati Roy, the list goes on. As far as I can tell,
Ireland.
They all write in English.
Yeah. Or the Irish authors who wrote in and write in English. Yeah, that is a strange phenomenon that some of those ex-colonies, and you may call Ireland that, produced very successful authors in the language of the former colonizer. I can't explain that.
What's the situation in Europe? Is English the dominant language there?
Yes. But the official language of every member state is an official language of the Union. And at present, there are 11 languages, official languages of the 15 member states, and soon that will be 20 or 24. But then in the end, English has become almost everywhere the major second language, although on the continent, it's nobody's first language.
Mm-hmm. Why is that the case? Why has English become so popular on the continent?
I think because people choose a foreign language to learn very much the way they choose a software or a music recording standard, not because it's technically the best, but they figure, well, VCR will become the winning videotape standard, or Microsoft Windows will become the most prominent software standard. I better buy that because everybody else has it too, and it allows me to communicate better. Now, this is also the reasoning in the choice of languages. And throughout Europe, the idea has taken hold that indeed English is, as they say, the language of the future. They mean the language of the labor market. And even in southern Europe now, French is being slowly pushed out by English as a second language. And in central and eastern Europe, German and English are competing. But English is the prestige language, and I think it will be winning.
Now, is the reason that English is so dominant in Europe, as well as in other countries around the world, is because every country has to deal with the United States? I mean, the U.S. is the dominant global power now, and especially if you're going to have any kind of economic trade, you're going to have to deal with America, and therefore you have to know English.
That's right. And even if you have to deal with China or Japan, you have to learn English, because people in China and Japan who want to deal with, say, Malaysia or, say, India, learn English. So even if you don't have to deal with the U.S., you still have to learn English. Mm-hmm. And that is true hegemony.
Now, let's just suppose that China were to become the next global superpower. 100 years from now, China would occupy the status that the United States now has. Does that mean that Chinese would become the world's dominant language?
There certainly would be a cultural lag of, say, 50 or 100 years, the time it takes to learn the language, to be completely persuaded that, yes, China is the greatest cultural power and the greatest political power. But then in the end, yes, and even more, people would say, you know, Chinese, that's a language easy to learn. And you can say things you could never say in Dutch or in English. And it sort of swings. Because it would convey this feeling of excitement that goes with great power. And probably after a certain time, that would occur with Chinese, which, of course, now is for us the most inaccessible language.
Abram de Swan is a sociologist at the University of Amsterdam in the Netherlands. He spoke with Steve Paulson.